Good morning, KSJD, and welcome to another edition of River Radio. I'm your host, Sam Carter. Thanks for joining us. Today on the show, we're going to talk about the spill that's flowing out. We're going to give you a real quick update on that. But our main guest today is Dustin Goodall, and this is the second in a three-part series about the relationship between boaters, irrigators, ranchers, and water managers with each other and with the water coming into and out of McPhee Reservoir. All right, so the update on the spill coming out of McPhee Reservoir into the Lower Dolores River. Starting today, the flows will actually maintain at about 1,200 CFS. Through the weekend, they'll maintain that 1,200. They might lift up to 2,000. 2,000 CFS will be coming sometime soon. It all depends on inflows out of the mountains into the reservoir, which then depends on the temperatures that are happening and how much water is coming in. So looking ahead to the rest of the month and into the spill, there's definitely going to be a lot of time where the river will sit up at 2,000 CFS. There will be a 4,000 CFS spike for 4 days, and that's targeted at the weekend of May 6th and 7th. That's a Friday, Saturday. It'll probably start on Thursday, which is May 4th. So it looks like 4 days at 4,000 CFS right around that weekend with ramp up and ramp down on both sides of that. That's going to be pretty fun. Also a good time to be very aware as you're boating. And then after that, the water will come back down, probably around 1,200, maybe a little lower, maybe a little higher. It all depends, again, on inflows. The intention is to have water through Memorial Day, but that is also not guaranteed just based on inflows and what happens with the melt and what happens with evaporation and all kinds of other factors. You can learn all that information and stay very up to date by going to Dolores River Boating Advocates website and linking over to DoloresWater.com. You can also just go directly to DoloresWater.com and hit on the releases tab. That's lots of great updated information there. It's updated twice a week. Dustin is a rancher from Southwest Colorado, and we're going to talk to him extensively this morning. Dustin, good morning. Thanks for being here.
Morning. How's it going?
It's great. I'm glad you're here. So, Dustin, would you tell us who you are and what you do?
So, I'm Dustin Goodall, fourth-generation rancher around these areas. My family come in around Rico area and migrated to the valley. They went for bust in a couple of different industries and found themselves kind of relying on agriculture, and that's kind of where we're spanning out now, raising my family, ranching, irrigating, trying to build a herd of cows to run along with my dad. We don't have any plans of moving out anytime soon, so we kind of have strong ties to the area.
You work for Kinder Morgan, but you also ride a horse, and I'm going to say you chase cows. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, we chase cows all year long, snow, rain, heat, whatever. That's what we do.
Right now, you've got a herd of cows, and you do this with your dad. And where do you have your cows at right now?
Right now, they're actually in southeast Utah, kind of by the Hovenweep National Monument. They'll spend the fall months and winter months, part of the spring months out there. We'll move them into Colorado and start going to the high country. And our second herd is right around Slick Rock. Our camp's actually right at the ramp. And we run all the way down the river, all the way up into McIntyre. And same kind of story with them. They'll run fall, winter, and some of the spring months down there, move up to the glade, and spend summer months in the high country.
Tell us about the relationship that you have with other irrigators, with other ranchers. What you understand about these folks who are using water to raise hay and to raise animals?
So kind of just growing up, we've got a lot of close family friends, and their whole family business, they were raised and pretty much raised on their family homestead out Pleasant View, Dove Creek, Cajon area. And the kids, they're same age as me, and I see them getting out of high school and having the dreams of carrying on the family farm. So coming out of high school and seeing the water coming down the river into the reservoir, they have hopes of building a life, building a family, raising a family the same way they were raised. And I see all these different families out there, and even people that are coming in building these new farms, they have a tight relationship. They know they got to kind of stick together and work together to continue having this water distributed out to them in order to keep their kind of their farming empire going so their future generations can keep going. So between all the irrigators, I know it's a community. They got to keep close together and keep good communication between one another so when issues arise, they can kind of band together. And that's basically what we've seen over the years.
What's challenging about the relationship that you have with other irrigators?
Well, there's different systems through DWCD and MVI. Most of it's pressurized pipe. The stuff we're on is ditch-fed pipe. So the neighbors down the road can open their valves all the way open, suck your water right out, and then you're calling the sheriff, you're calling the ditch rider, you're calling your neighbors and whoever, try and get your water. I mean, it's, you hear about all these stories of the Old West of people, I mean, literally shooting each other for water rights, and you can kind of feel it when people start taking your water, the water you paid for, the water that you need to, you know, raise your crops, raise your pasture, people make money off of, and when it's taken away from you by another irrigator, it can get kind of, the tension can kind of rise and things can get heated.
What kind of relationship do you have with the water managers?
We try and keep a really good relationship with them. I talk personally to Mike Preston quite a bit. Actually, his son and I grew up together, so we kind of have a relationship beyond just as irrigator and manager. But as far as relationship, we try and keep it pretty friendly. But when it comes down to issues that we're facing nowadays with water going down, not having full allocations, it can get pretty tense, it can get heated, but all in all, as far as Mike and Vern and all those guys, they're really good guys. They have an extremely tough job, and we respect that. I personally respect that because I couldn't take the burden of trying to predict what's going to happen. So as far as all the other irrigators, ranchers, farmers, whatever, you know, they try and keep close contact with those guys, close relationships, good friendships, so they know what's coming, so they can kind of predict what they got to do.
So then let's throw whitewater boating into the mix. World-class boating, great scenery. You got boaters knocking on the door wanting water. What's the relationship you have with boaters?
See, I personally know a few boaters. I've met, you know, I've met Sam, I've met Cody Perry and a couple of guys, and I've learned a lot from them. So as far as my relationship personally with the boaters, it's got to be a friendly one. It's a community. I mean, it's a public resource. This water going by the town of Dolores into the lake, and sometimes out, I take it as, you know, if the boaters will respect us as ag people, in return, we've got to respect them in their needs and their wants. The senior water rights here kind of have a hold on all the ag people. They, you know, they think that they're adjudicated or they're allotted all this water and they own it. So their relationship with the boaters can be pretty tense. You know, there's a lot of old people that out there on the farms that don't really want anything to do with a downstream spill because they're losing money or they think they're going to lose money and they're not going to have the full benefit of what they've always had. So as far as their relationship with the boaters, it can be pretty tense, and they don't like seeing it come in. They don't like seeing the boaters come in. They don't like seeing the water spill out. But personally, I think that there needs to be common ground, and everybody needs a piece of the pie, and everybody needs to get the benefit off this public resource because everybody's allowed to enjoy what the public resources are in your community.
When there are shortages, when there are tensions between irrigators and managers or irrigators and irrigators, how do you, as the young guy on the front but generationally ingrained here, how do you present yourself? What are you doing to help relieve tensions, to help look at things differently? What is your part in that?
See, it kind of arose a couple of years ago when I got out of high school, got a job, and started irrigating and helping my dad and meeting all these different people. And I try and stay open-minded as most as I can between everybody, the irrigators, the old-timers that are farming, the managers. I try and come with, you know, open ears to learn everything I can, take it upon myself to research these things and see what the laws are and see what everything happens, and in return come back with a response, not so much on one side or the other, but to where everybody can have common ground and have some kind of an agreeance. I really have a passion on creating a community between these, you know, the irrigators, the managers, the boaters. There needs to be common ground for everybody to move forward. It's coming a new era. There's new people coming in. You know, new things are popping up all the time. And to have that common ground, there's got to be communication between, and not just communication, but agreeance between everybody.
All right, that's the end of our show today here on River Radio. Thanks for listening. Dustin, thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, man, thanks for having me. It was great.
Thanks for listening, folks. If you haven't caught the first part, you can get online, ksjd.org, and you can listen to part 1 of this series. Part 3 will come out next month. Have a great time. Talk to you soon.